Hey, I thank God for today. My name is Pastor Gideon Nash, speaking from South Street Baptist Church. I welcome all of you who are watching us right now online. I say, God be with you. God bless you. Today is a good day for you, and God has appointed today to bless you in a powerful way. Hallelujah. And those of you who are in the church, in the sanctuary, I say, God bless you and receive from God what he has for you. And those in the balcony, I say, God bless you as well. And God lift his holy name upon your life. Amen. Amen. Today, I'm going to talk about the power of a supernatural church. Amen. The power of a supernatural church. I mean, some people shirk, run, and hide from the word supernatural. But then our God is supernatural. You see, unless we begin to see God for who he is, soon what happens is that we become too familiar and everything just fizzles away. When we say God is divine, yeah, I don't even understand what it means, but he's divine. And when we say that God is, spirit, spirit, eerie, oh, cool. And then we just move away. But when you say God is supernatural, people sit up. Now they want to know what is happening. That is who God is. Our God is supernatural. So today we're going to talk about the power of a supernatural church. God's church needs to be a church that is supernatural. A church that the word of God come alive. A church that the Holy Spirit come alive and changes people's life. That is what, when we say God is spirit and those who worship him should worship him in truth and in spirit, that means that church should be active, that church should be operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about a supernatural church, we think, okay, what is it anyway? What does the Bible say about it anyway? Is that true? We are Baptist church, yes. But is the Baptist supernatural? Is Baptist not supernatural? Of course, God is not a Baptist. That's the most important thing. But what is most important for you and me to know is that our God is supernatural. And if you are sons and daughters of God, then you've got to be supernatural kids. Do you get what I'm saying? You got to be supernatural kids. Otherwise, what's the point saying that God is your father? You see, and when we are talking about supernatural ministry or supernatural church, we are looking at the church where the word of God comes alive and being relevant here and now. The word of God will have to come alive and be relevant in your life, not just words being spoken or stories being told and we laughing our heads off and going home. That means the word of God should move our hearts to obey it and for action to transform our lives. The word of God should transform our lives. Let's see some reading from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. If you've got your Bible at home, turn to it so that you can read and follow us. Otherwise, follow us by pressing the button on your YouTube channel and it will give you some words as to follow us. Now, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. That means God breathed into it. And God is spirit. So his Holy Spirit breathed into it. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that man, the man of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good thing. So if you want to be thoroughly equipped for every good thing, then the word of God must come alive in your church. And that word of God should come alive so that it will bring teaching, could bring rebuking, bring correction, training, and in all righteousness. Now, if we are saying we are supernatural church or church that is operating on the supernatural power of God, literally operating in that church, then the word of God should be challenging us to be biblically relevant Christians. The word of God should challenge you. If you go to a church and the word of God only motivates you, at the end of the day, you live in your sin, it hasn't challenged you, is it? If you're doing something wrong, the word of God should challenge you. If you're doing something right, the word of God should challenge you and encourage you to do more. Let's look for a reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. It said, for the word of God is living and active. Hear this. The word of God is living and active. So the Bible should be living. That means it should literally speak into every situation, in every generation, at all times. It should be active, sharper than any two or double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit and joint and marrow. That means the Bible touches all your four dimensions. It touches your spirit. It touches your soul. It touches your body. It does that. Your whole being should be touched by the word of God. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. The Bible should expose what is in your heart. Are you with me so far? You see, that is what we call a supernatural church. A church that these things happen. If not, and you go to church and you go home and you're the same, then you haven't been in the presence of God. You've just come to have, fellowship, a wonderful social gathering. You haven't come to worship. You see, so when we are talking about supernatural church, the Bible shouldn't only be a historical account of the story of God and his people, but a present reality in our lived lives. You see, most often we read the Bible and think, oh yeah, that's the time of Moses. Oh yeah, that's the time of Apostle Paul. Oh yeah, that's the time of Abraham. Oh yeah, that's the time of Jesus Christ. And we don't relate anything because it's their time. That is how we see it. It's a historical account for us. So a church that is moving in the supernatural, meaning an end time church, because since the time that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead and the time that he will come again to rescue his own is called the end time. So if you hear the end time, strange. It is just telling that the clock is ticking down, just like the clock is ticking down on me. It's ticking down, and one day the clock will say, boom, we're done. And that time, Christ appears. And if your heart is not right, if the word of God hasn't transformed you, if the Spirit of God is not in you, if you've backslidden and you've gone so cold, if you've gone back to your sinful ways, then you'll be left. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and you see that you'll be left. And those who are alive will be caught up with Christ. And of course, our loved ones who've died in Christ, they'll be first resurrected and we will join them. You see, so the Bible shouldn't be a historical account. It should be a present reality in your lived life. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 105. It's one of the verses that I learned as a young Christian. It's never left me since the age of 14. It's really, really powerful. Psalm 119, verse 105. Say, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, the word of God will guide you in every situation. It will help you to see far ahead of you and should guide you even where you are so it don't hit your feet against the pavement and drop, right? The word of God will guide you in your present now and your future. That is what the word of God is. So if you are in a church that they are preaching such things to you and you are living by that, by those standards, then you are in a supernatural church, right? Irrespective of the denomination. You understand that? You can be an Anglican, you can be a Catholic, you can be a Methodist, you can be a Baptist, you can be whatever, Kotal, Pentecostal, Church of Christ, whatever it is. You are a supernatural church. Is that okay? I mean, some people think, oh yes, our street is not, following a different vision. We are following supernatural church. But what should we do? Our God is supernatural. We're not here. To tell you stories and give you teas and coffees to go home. You see, I'm looking back, I'm thinking, God, why did we do teas and coffee for so long? Because by the time that they finish, everything that they learned, they've drunk it over. And every good word has left their minds. By the time they get to the street, they only remember the tea and the coffee, not the word of God. Nothing is changing them. Funny, it's as if there's something that my feet touched. Father, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. I cut through every chain in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are in a supernatural church. Hallelujah. Now, the other side of the supernatural church, if you're in the supernatural, I'm not pretending, I'm actually, it's as if my feet actually hit a chain or a rope that was tripping me. I just felt it, and I knew that the enemy is working. You see, in Jesus' name. Father God, in Jesus' name. So if you are in a church that operates in the supernatural, a church that believes in our supernatural God, in that church, we believe and know that the Holy Spirit is the person of God operating here on earth. So we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If you are in a church and the church and the people in the church are not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, then that church is dying. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how sweet and beautiful it is. It doesn't matter how loving and nice the people are. That church spiritually has a name, but it's dead. Jesus Christ talked about that in Revelation chapter 2. He says, you have a name that you live, but yet you are dead. You see, and we don't want to be that kind of church. So we know that the person of Jesus Christ is operating. We are sensitive to it. The Spirit will bring life for salvation and transcreating us. That means changing us. That means if you are in that church, you should always have an encounter with the living God. And in this church, we have an encounter with the living God. Each time you have an encounter with the living God, it changes your life. It's got to be a church that people are being invited to give their life to Jesus Christ and accept him as their Lord and Savior, so that if they were to die today, when they open their eyes, they will be with the Lord. That is the church that is supernatural. That is the church that was released in Acts of the Apostles. That was the church that, Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Christ was born that is going to be born. That was the church that Malachi prophesied 400 years before Jesus was born that is going to be birthed in our generation. Hallelujah. That is a supernatural church. He didn't call it Baptist. He didn't call it Methodist. He didn't call it Anglican. He didn't call it Presbyterian. He says the church. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get confused, so we have to put boundaries to say, okay, we are this, we are this. That's what we believe. This is the line we're coming from. It's good because we cannot knock everything. The Holy Spirit should be active participant in our lives and in our ministry. The Holy Spirit in this church is active participant in our lives and in our ministry. You heard our service leader say that people get healed, people get delivered, people get saved. Miracles, signs and wonders happen. The Holy Spirit is an active participant in our service. You may be thinking, oh gosh, what am I talking about? This is not Baptist. We are a Baptist church. Honestly, I've been a Baptist member or a Baptist person longer than some of you. For over 40 years, I've been a Baptist, right? And I just want you to know that, supernatural church is a Baptist tradition. We, the Baptists, led the revival, modern revival in our nation. We led it, English Baptists, we led it. And we actually, because of us, many Christians, especially the white community, became charismatic, right? Other than that, they say Pentecostal. Same people, Holy Spirit. It's just the color of the skin and supposedly intelligence that define you as a Pentecostal or charismatic. If you are highly educated middle class, you are charismatic, if the Holy Spirit is working with you. If you are less educated, or if you are, of a different race, then you are Pentecostal. Same people. Hallelujah. But God did not say we are Pentecostal or charismatic. But I just want you to know that we led the Holy Spirit movement in our time. And the reason why I'm saying that, I just want to remind you, and I want to show you this book, if the camera can pick it up, right? The book says, The Fire Over the Waters. You know who wrote it? Reverend Douglas McBain. Of the Baptist tradition. Once the president of the Baptist Union of Great Britain. And once I got to know him when he was, the chairman or principal or director of the London Baptist Property Board. And I remember one of the elders is here, we've met him before, when he was living in Streatham. I don't know if he's still alive or living there. He wrote this book. And if you get a chance, read it. 1999. I spent time at this man's feet, a Baptist, talking to me about the power of the Holy Spirit, talking to me about the spirit of revival. And he was saying, Gideon, we Baptists are championing this cause because it's a good thing. I lost my way a bit, so I forgot about it. And today I picked this book from my shelf just to let you know, remember the name, Douglas McBain. Hallelujah. So I thought to let you know that if any of you in doubt that we are a Baptist church and we are going the way of the fire over the waters, then I want you to know that what we're doing is the right. In fact, one of the things that was written at the back is that he hopes that since Baptists are forerunners of the fire of the Holy Spirit in our nation, we will spread the fire in all denominations. So you see, we are Baptists, right? Let me press on. God help me. We're going on lockdown anyway, so be patient with me. Now, the main purpose, in a supernatural church, the main purpose is to release power on the believers to be a credible witness of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Acts 1:8, which I know, by heart. It said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. What's happening? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. You shall receive power for a reason. Most often we Christians talk about, we want to be witnesses. Witnesses with what? You shall receive power. And that church, which is supernatural, operates in power. So when the power comes upon you, you are able to be a credible witness. Not only to lead people to salvation, but a credible witness in demonstration of the power. When you receive power, what do you receive it for? When you have electricity, it's power, isn't it? What do you get out of that? Come on, it doesn't mean that you guys even know what you get. When you have electricity, you get light. So electricity is for a purpose, isn't it? Hallelujah. It shines and dispel the darkness. So we are here to receive power to dispel every darkness in our home, in our lives, in our community, and wherever we see ourselves, we want to dispel darkness. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. So if you're a Christian and you are powerless, you are irrelevant in the kingdom of God. Powerless Christians are irrelevant because they don't shine no light. They live in the darkness themselves because they are powerless. Hallelujah. And a lot of Christians, I'm afraid, are powerless because they want to witness. And most churches or most Christians, a whole year, you just ask yourself, how many people have you led to Christ from the beginning of January up to this time? How many? I'm not going to challenge you to raise up your hand. You see, the answer will be zilch. So, where is the power? But when you have power, you see, we do House of Peace, which is an extension of our church in homes. And we see people logging on and coming to, giving their life to Jesus Christ. Yes or no? Yes. Exactly. That is demonstration of power to rescue people from darkness, to shine light on them and bring them to Jesus Christ. And Acts chapter 10 verse 38. You see, to be a credible witness of Jesus Christ, to be a credible witness of the power that has been given to you, the Bible said, and how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because Jesus Christ was with him. Hallelujah. So a supernatural church should be able to do good, right? We like social action, isn't it? Give them the teas and coffees. Give them the smiley toast. Give them all those things. Give them, Christmas hampers. All those things are good. But the purpose of the social gospel, or the food banks and everything, the purpose of the social gospel is so that you open people's heart for the supernatural gospel. Because some people who are living rough, it is not just the food that they need. They need some healing. Some of them, their minds are messed up. Some of them are under a curse. Some of them, something is going wrong with them, and they need the power of the Holy Spirit to transform their lives. So as you feed them, heal the sick. As you feed them, transform their lives with the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the purpose of the social gospel. Because you can feed someone, the homeless, give the person money. 10 years you come, the person is still sitting there, and the person hasn't changed. Give them food.
Let them eat. It's a good thing. You feed them for 10 years and they will still be the same. They will be expecting the same thing. And when you go to Acts chapter 3, there was a man at the beautiful gate. And when he saw John and Peter coming, he says, give me alms. Give me alms. You know what they said? He said, I mean, silver and gold we have none, but what we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. So they saw that the supernatural gospel is integrated with the social gospel. The social gospel is integrated with the supernatural gospel. And this man got up and he was following them. He was even a witness, challenging the Sadducees, challenging the Sanhedrins, all the rulers. And said, me, I don't know, this man healed me. And that's all what I can say. So this is what the supernatural gospel does. Now, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 20. If you have it, we can look at it. Otherwise, I will just say it from my head. Right. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 20. You see, the Bible said that go and preach the gospel that Jesus Christ is going to heaven. Go and preach the gospel and make disciples. And when you make those disciples, get them baptized. I was challenged by the principal of Spurgeon's College in 2003 when I was there, Dr. Nigel Wright. He was saying that, Gideon, if you become a believer and you are not baptized, you are not a Christian. I'm thinking, eh? You serious? Yeah, he was serious. He challenged my theology. And he left some grains of sand on my brain for a long time. So the Bible said when you get them baptized, now these signs shall follow them who will believe. Those who don't believe, they will be condemned. If you don't believe it, then you're going to hell. But those who believe, he said, these signs will follow them in my name. They shall speak with new tongues. So supernatural church as tongue-speaking church. Do you understand that? Because it activates your spirit. It gets you in the plane of God, in the same trajectory of God. You activate your spirit. You build upon your most holy faith like Jude 1:20 tells us. It helps you to speak to God. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. Anyone who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to man, but speaks to God. It stirs up your spirit and becomes a search engine. Romans 8 verse 26, 27 becomes a search engine, searching the heart of God, because sometimes you don't even know what you ought to pray for because the situation is so overwhelming. You turn right, you turn left, and the situation is staring in your face. You need a spirit to search, be a search engine for you, so that you go to where God understands to help you. Hallelujah. So that when you know it, then you know that. The reason why I mentioned this man, Dr. Nigel Wright, was also a principal of Spurgeon's College. He taught me theology. Now, one of the things that, I mean, this reading that I was telling you about, Mark 16, 15 to 20, said that you shall speak with new tongues. You shall cast out demons. Yes. You shall heal the sick. And if the enemy comes over you, he will not succeed because you hold him captive. And Jesus Christ was taken, verse 9, Jesus Christ was taken to the heavens, and these people went and did exactly what Jesus told them. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit backed them up. Now, this is a Baptist, a senior Baptist, who was also once, president of the Baptist Union, principal of Spurgeon's College for several years, during my time. And this man, he wrote a book, Theology of the Dark Side. This is a Baptist, so I'm trying to tell you, we are a Baptist church, and these are the things that the Baptists teach. Hallelujah. They used to call him Dr. Evil. Simply because he understood spiritual warfare. And one of the things that he kept saying is that, look, the underlying issues about the nature of evil are perennial, and those who are believers in the God of Jesus Christ need to be well armed, both intellectually and spiritually, to address them. Above all, this book is about how we are to think about evil, and by derivation, how we are not to think about it, and that we have more power than the enemy. This is a Baptist man. He taught people to become Baptist ministers. Dr. Nigel Wright. So I'm challenging you, Baptists. I'm challenging you, Anglicans. I'm challenging you, Presbyterian. I'm challenging that God, our theology, is supernatural. So if our fathers, our recent fathers, are writing about this, forget about John Wimber. They are probably, you can say, their time is old. Forget about all those amazing people, even John Wesley and the rest. Our modern people are telling you about this, the theology of the dark side. He got his doctorate degree in dealing with demons. I don't know how he wrote about it. So, you see why, how flimsy and irrelevant our arguments are when it comes to, oh, supernatural church, South Street is going away from the Baptist tradition. Thank God our God is not a Baptist. Can I hear amen from Baptist church? Amen. These are your fathers, Baptists. These are books on my shelf. I got it 2009. 1999, and I got this 2002. Both men have been in this church. So I just want you to know that. So, just to make my case. Now, the power of a supernatural church. Matthew 9:20-22. This bit, I'll rush in a little bit, but I want you to be patient with me. Matthew 9:20-22 said, Then a woman who had been subjected to bleeding for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak or garment. She said to herself, If I only touch his cloak, I'll be healed. I'm reading from the New International Version. Jesus turned and saw her and said, take heart, daughter. He said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. Instant healing, miraculous healing. So the supernatural church should be operating in healing, in miracles, and instant signs and wonders. Wherever Jesus Christ, when he demonstrated supernatural power, the verse above that we've just read to you, tells us that a woman was healed by simply believing and touching the hem of Jesus' garment. After his ascent, that means after he resurrected, Jesus Christ resurrected into the heavens, the church of Acts continued the work of Jesus. Is the same God? Is the same church? So if you say the power of supernatural church, this is the church of Jesus Christ that we are following. You see, in Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, it says that God, who worked unusual miracle by the hand of Paul, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illness were cured, and the evil left them. It didn't say sickness, evil left them. Cast out demons. And in this church, we are teaching you, we're taking you through things that we are activating you, those of you whose hearts are open and want to be taught. Just like I have sat at the feet of Reverend Douglas McBain and Reverend Dr. Nigel Wright, who've been taught over all these years. I kept them. As I said, I lost my way a little bit because I went into accountancy and I was so bowled over by the money, the influence, the power, and the knowledge and everything. But I've come back to myself and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm missing something. Hallelujah. And what I'm missing is to go back to the old time faith. The things that they taught me is coming back to me so much these days. I'm thinking, wow, wasn't I so ignorant that when they were teaching me, I would just sat there like an idiot. But I just sitting now watching them, mesmerized, and I never did nothing with it. So today we are doing something with it because that's the church of Jesus Christ. So Paul, handkerchiefs, that touches, but not that he was wearing it, it touched his body. So just like me walking, and then maybe the Paul coming and he has a handkerchief and then he just touched my body. And he said, God, there's some evil in somebody. Who is that evil in the house? And he goes and just lay on that person, and the evil left that person.
Isn't this incredible? This is the church that Jesus Christ built. And he told us to continue to do the same. So why aren't we? Why aren't we? Our fathers did it. Why aren't we? Hallelujah. You see, so people were healed when they were touched by a piece of cloth that had once been on Paul's body. This is supernatural. Today we will learn the importance of supernatural church. What is the condition of the church today? If this is the church, if this is what our fathers have been writing about, what is the condition of our churches today? Yeah, if this is what even Baptist ministers are writing about it, Baptist theologians are writing about and experience about, what is the state of the church today? The state of the church today, one, is man-made programs have replaced the leading of the Holy Spirit. Some churches have amazing and inviting programs that welcome people in, like Sastry's warm and welcoming. And this is a good thing, I should say. But because structure and order are necessary. Somebody said, oh, this is the first black church that I've gone that they are structured, they are orderly, and they start church on time, and they don't wait for African and Caribbean time. Please forgive me. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Sadly, when the agenda of the church does not include the will of God or the leading of the Holy Spirit, the services are not led by the Holy Spirit. Some churches use entertainment. You go and all you hear is the pastor talking about jokes. And I once saw a pastor who was literally talking and fell down on the stage and got up. And I'm thinking, why are you a comedian or something? They use entertainment to keep the members and the numbers high. But entertainment does not save a soul. Entertainment does not heal anybody. Entertainment does not deliver anybody from the power of the enemy or set captives free. People who enter these churches walk away in the same state of sin, the same state of sadness, the same state of emptiness, the same state that they came in without hope. Church today should be likened to the church in Acts. It should be spirit-filled. It should be spirit-led. It should be powerful. It should be supernatural. Repeat the word, supernatural. Are you comfortable with saying that? Let all of you in your homes online say it with me, supernatural. Thank you. The church of God should be supernatural. I've explained to you what it is, what it looks like. So these days, the church today, our church today is full of charisma. And charisma has replaced the demonstration of power. But Jesus says, go and demonstrate power. The Holy Spirit will come upon you to demonstrate power. But if we allow charisma to fill that place. Most preachers today rely on talents and their gifts, eloquence and charisma, which is their gift of persuasive speaking to bring people into their churches and keep them from leaving those churches. You see, I just want you to understand that our God, we cannot live in a church where we just use charisma. And one thing I always say, with God, spirit over talent and gift anytime. You may be the most talented person. You are the most gifted person. If the Spirit of God is not filling you, and leading you, giving you revelation, you are irrelevant in the kingdom of God. How do I say that? Why am I saying that? Go to Exodus chapter 31. Go to Exodus chapter 35. God called Bezalel and Aholiab. They were the most talented people in their time. When God wanted to build a tabernacle, a place to worship him, he said, bring them to me and I'll fill them with my spirit so that they can teach the people, build me a house, teach the people how to worship him. Come back to the New Testament, Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. He said, do not leave until you are endued with the Holy Spirit. Do not leave until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Before then, in John chapter 20, he's already breathed upon them. They became Christians. They were Christ followers. But he said, you need the Holy Spirit. You need power. Until you are endured with power, don't leave.
Acts 1:8, as we've read before. Then the power of God came upon them extraordinary on the day of Pentecost. Then they became credible witnesses. Go back to the time of, Moses and Aaron and his children. Exodus chapter 40, verse 13 to 16. You see that God says, set them apart and let me fill them with the Holy Spirit. Even their garments I will fill with the Holy Spirit. Then they can minister before me. And their children can minister before me. So spirit over talent anytime. So if you come and say, I have got a spirit of casting out demons, that's your problem. Unless I see the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. Otherwise, the demons will turn around and come and beat you up. There's so many examples in the New Testament, right? So, let's press on. See, some of these leaders of the church, they love praise of men more than the praise of God. John chapter 12, verse 48, right? But where is God and his power in this? If all that we want is praise from men, none of those human abilities have the power to change a life or have the power to change the heart of any man. Only God's power and God's love can change people. Amen? Only God's love and God's power can change people. It's in Galatians chapter 1, verse 9, that warns that if anyone preaches any other gospel to you other than what the Holy Spirit or what you have received from me, let him be accursed. So, let us beware of those who have replaced Jesus Christ with their charismatic messages. Yes? As you have already said, so, now I say again, that's Paul repeating himself, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. That's even stronger, isn't it? So let us be careful. What is the state of our church today? The third one, and I'll tell you a few points and then we're done. The third one is that motivational preaching and political correctness has replaced the message of the cross. That is the state of our churches today. Here I'm happy to say that we preach the gospel and we demonstrate power of God. We are a Baptist church. The church of Jesus Christ, the supernatural church. Hallelujah. You see, motivational preaching is actually good and often necessary because it is supposed to inspire people. But when it is done without Jesus Christ as its central figure, it is powerless to change anybody's heart. I've gone to churches like that before, visited. And they motivate you. When you finish, you think you want to go and sell your house and give the money to the church. I've heard people do that. They sell their house, and I'm thinking, so where are you going to live after that? Because they are so motivated, and they just pumped up to do it. By the time they realize, they've done a foolish thing, because it doesn't change you. It moves you to the person who is preaching the message to you, because more often, the focus is about the preacher, not about Jesus Christ. So let's look at the characteristics of a supernatural church and we'll be done. We'll look at four characteristics. First, that church should show character. What do I mean by that? That church is fearless and fearlessly preaches the message of salvation. You see, once upon a time, if I'm here and I want to preach the message of salvation, I feel I'm going to upset somebody by saying, you are living in sin, turn your way around. I used to be a bit uncomfortable saying that the way you are going is not a bad place. And when I challenge people this way, they feel uncomfortable. Some stay, some leave. You got to be fearless to preach the message of salvation. And the message is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was the first message Jesus Christ preached. When he started preaching, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn your ways round, wherever you're going. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is now or near. I don't like NIV translation, but I love the other bit. Repent, for the kingdom of God is now. Don't wait till tomorrow. You got to repent from your rebellious spirit. You got to repent from your rebellion. You're allowing yourself for witchcraft to dominate your life. Repent from your independence. Repent from your sinful behavior. That is the church of the supernatural. The character of a church of supernatural is it preaches repent. Hallelujah. Number two, authority. The characteristic of a supernatural church is that that church operates in authority. It is empowered to flow in the supernatural. We are teaching you how to operate in the supernatural. We are not doing anything unusual. We are telling you this is what the Word of God says. If you obey it, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. If you obey it, this is the way to do things. Because we ourselves have subjected ourselves under people who taught us. So that's why I took you all the way to year 1999 in Streatham, Reverend Douglas McBain's home. I remember very well, beautiful house with a bay window. That was the first place I saw a bay, what do we call it? Radiator. Bay window, bay radiator. And I got a house and incidentally became like that. And I'm thinking, isn't God telling you something? Coincidence, but isn't God telling you something? Right. You are empowered to flow in the supernatural. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, Jesus said, I've been anointed to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Is that right? The Spirit of the living God is upon me. Go back. Thank you. The Spirit of the living God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner. Which prisoners? Not in Wormwood's crop. Those who are imprisoned by the devil. You see, your head is being messed about. Some sicknesses are on you. It's not going anywhere. You can't trace it in your family line and suddenly you are saddled with it. Or maybe it's in your family line and everybody's gotten it. Auntie had it, uncle had it, grandmother had it. And all this, you are imprisoned. That spirit has become familiar spirit. We are there to what? To release people, give them freedom from prisoners. And recovery of sight to the blind, spiritual blind and physical blind. And release the oppressed. People are depressed. People are sad, isolated. We have that power. Use it, my brother, my sister. In this church, we have been trained. As I said, I've subjected myself to learn from 1999, probably much earlier, in 1976 or something, an English writer called Doreen Ivan. She wrote a book, From Witchcraft to Christ, or Spiritual Warfare. I learned those things as a teenager, 14-year-old, reading such books, and I'm thinking, wow. That's the first time I saw a verse in the Bible, in Luke chapter 11, verse 20, which says that, If I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, salvation has come upon you. I'm thinking, wow. Here was a witchcraft who's known Jesus Christ and now using the power of God to destroy witchcraft. So the power that we have in our faith is bigger than that of the devil. That's why we're able to cast our demons. Otherwise, how can we cast our demons in this church? Otherwise, how can we just be praising God and demons flying out? How can we be speaking to the strongest demons and they just go out of people and people are set free and never go back to oppression? It's simply because we are in the church of the supernatural. So I am so proud and confident saying things like that because I have no regret. And that is exactly what is going to happen. So here we are. Where are we? That church should be spirit-filled. It means it is led by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. To preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Jesus Christ should be made of none effect. Right? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. I like that bit. You see, the cross of Jesus Christ will be emptied of its power. So if you preach and you are not doing those supernatural things, if it is not spirit-filled, we know that Christians, we like this. Oh, I'm spirit-filled. Holy Spirit baptized. Holy Spirit this. A second blessing. We try to find words to express it. Stop using words. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, use the power. Otherwise, the power of the cross is being emptied. That means you make it powerless, of none effect. And many Christians are living in a powerless life because the cross means nothing to them. They say things, they don't even believe in it. I'm challenging you guys. Once upon a time I was like that. And now I'm challenging you because that's the way it is. And if you are watching us online, I'm challenging you. I'm not going saying that go and challenge your church leader or your pastors because I never challenge these people. I heard it. It messed my head around. I'm thinking, what are these people telling me what is right? Yes, but I took it like Mary said, I meditated upon it. And several years on, 4 years ago, one of the books that Reverend Douglas McBain mentioned, I haven't brought that book here. It says Power Evangelism by John Wimber. I bought that book. You know, I never read it for several years. And I only picked it up 4 years ago to read. And that changed my life. It took me to the Bible, scripture upon scripture upon scripture, that a Christian should walk in power. From that time, I've never gone back. That is brilliant. So it should be spirit-filled, just led by the Holy Spirit, and we don't want to empty the power. Only the Holy Spirit can draw us closer to God, lead us to salvation by showing us the person of Jesus Christ and bless us with the anointing to follow Jesus Christ and obey God's commandment. The last point, then I'll be done. You see, the characteristics of a supernatural church, I'm not talking about denominations. Every denomination can walk this way, right? And this is what our fathers told us, that we, the Baptists, are going back to scripture. Because one of the things the Baptists that attracted me to the Baptists, I was in the Church of England. When I became a Christian at the age of 14, what attracted me is I visited a Baptist church and I was surprised about the word of God, the way it was being opened. That is what has kept me all these years in the Baptist church. And we pride ourselves when you go to seminary, we say, yes, centrality of the gospel, of the word of God, centrality of the Bible, centrality of that means go to our website, it's there. That means the Bible is central. And we left the Church of England, or we left the Catholic Church, became Anabaptist, the Brethren, and then English Baptist, and then now we are what? Baptist Union, Baptist that. I'll just give you a little bit of Baptist history. Simply because we wanted to preach the word of God in reality with a demonstration of power. We became a protest movement. So Baptists have always been at the forefront of revival. I mean, all those people that you read in the Bible in England, in Wales, and all those revivals, they were Baptists. Are you hearing that? A few of them were not like John Wesley and Charles Finney and the rest who were not. Other than that, majority of them were Baptists. So we are the forefront of this. And our fathers are saying we should be at the forefront of casting out demons. We should be at the forefront of allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. We should be at the forefront. Why aren't we? I'm mentioning this name because if you're watching me online, you know these people that I'm mentioning. And I know them in person because I sat in the offices of this man, academic, principal of Spurgeon's College, doctorate degree, handsome man. He always has a beautiful smile. And I'm thinking, why would a very nice white man believe in all these things? That's my question. He said, Gideon, come here. He took me to his office. He lectured me a lot and said, take this book as a present. And I've kept it, Theology of the Dark Side. Hallelujah. So he sent us a message on the code. So where am I? Before I get sidetracked. Right. It sent us, yes, let me read one Bible verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and then I'll hit on this last point and I'll be done. He said, my message, Paul speaking, my message and my preaching were not with wise words or wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's what? So that your faith might not rest in men's wisdom, but on the... I want to hear your voice. Exactly. So you can see that the Bible is emphasizing that we shouldn't come with persuasive words, blah, 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 blah. We should back it up with that demonstration of power. So if you're in this church and we're saying, where are we going? We are a supernatural church and a Baptist church. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Word of God. We want to obey the Word of God. We want to do what Jesus says we can do. We are on a move. Hallelujah. So he centers his message on the cross, the death and the resurrection, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. When you read John chapter 11, verse 25, said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he lives, though he dies, he shall live. Right. So the message of the supernatural church is led by the Holy Spirit and the Bible coming alive. It has power to transform and change people's heart and mind. It supplies the impossible needs of people. And it intervenes in people's lives by manifesting his miracles, his signs, and his wonders. A supernatural church is alive with the love, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, and the favor of God. Amen. So all these things we do, we are a balanced church. You got to be proud that God has chosen even us to reveal his purpose to come alive in times like this. I'll share one story that happened. And this is a true story. I never tell lies. This, well, what I'm trying to say is that I don't intentionally tell a lie. That would be a safe place to do. But I usually don't tell lies. Sorry, because it doesn't help anybody to tell lies. Now, this is a message from a friend, a classmate. We finished O-levels together, or GCSE today you call it. That will happen on the 28th. I give you a time. And it was 4:28 a.m. I turn on my phone. He's even online right now. I turn on my phone, and all that I could see is that, oh, get well soon. I hope you recover soon. I hope this, I hope this, I hope this. I'm thinking, what's going on? So I said, good morning, Doc, 4:28. What's happening to you? How are you feeling today? And he came back a minute after, said, good morning, Nash. Right? That's how they call me. He said, low oxygen count plus plenty of wahala. Wahala means a lot of trouble. And I said, wow, this is serious. What is the solution? What are you doing about that right now? He said, I'm on admission since Monday, just this Monday. I hope I will improve soon. He gave me the praying hands. He said, God save me, bro. I nearly went. I was weak and couldn't sit or lie down for 15 minutes. So I said, thank you for update. This is good news. I don't know why I said that. But I said, I can seriously pray for the sick and they get healed. Would you want me to pray for you right now? He was in the hospital, 4 a.m. He said, sure, bro. Right? So, so then I said, you are going nowhere, my brother. You now have authority over death, having gone through this experience. That's me speaking again. Shall I, or do you want me to, shall I call you to pray over you, over the phone? Or you would rather I pray from a distance? Both achieve the same result. He says, yes, on the phone. You hear that? When you finish, I can give you my phone to read it. 30th of October, which is 2 days back. He said, good morning, bro. Right. I was discharged yesterday and recuperating at home. I'm getting stronger and stronger by his grace. I thank you very much for your prayers, support, and love. God bless you. And I said, this is incredible. Glory to God. And that's the end of our conversation. Isn't this miraculous? And when I picked the phone, I said, I can pray for the sick and they get healed. I was thinking, being the doctor and sitting in the hospital, thinking I'm nuts. But he said, yeah, pray for me. And I prayed for him and he got healed. So, amen and amen. And thank you for your patience. Amen.